Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the caption of my Bible at the beginning of verse 3 says, "Rules for Holy Living." "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator."
Good morning. I heard of a couple who worked at a circus who went into the authorities to inquire about adoption. The social workers there had concerns about the suitability of their parenthood. And the couple produced photos of their 50-foot motorhome, which was equipped with a beautiful nursery. The social workers then were doubtful of the education the child might receive. "We've arranged for a full-time tutor who will teach the child not only in the usual subjects, but in French, Mandarin, and computer skills." Then there was doubts as to the environment this child would be raised. "Our nanny is an expert in pediatrics and dietary needs." The social workers were very encouraged by what they heard and asked, "What is the age of the child you're hoping to adopt?" Their response, "It really doesn't matter as long as he fits in our canon." Sometimes things can catch us off guard. Sometimes it's just a comment. The power of words. Words can bring a great blessing and also can bring great discouragement. I expect most of you are aware of the decision the Anglican Church has made concerning their position on allowing the priests and their pastors to now bless homosexual relationships. This must have a huge impact on brothers and sisters who are striving to faithfully follow God's word in that body. And so as we would begin today, I would like to lead us in prayer for those. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you for the devotion that we have experienced here of wanting to follow your way. Lord God, we know that there are true brothers and sisters in the Anglican Church that must be reeling from the decision that has been made this week. We lift them before you. We pray that not only will you give them wisdom, but you will give them courage. Lord, that they might be found faithful in your sight. Thank you, Father, that you meet us and you lead us through those challenging times in life. And as those who are faithful to you must meet with the challenges that this brings into their life, Lord, may they be true to you. May they sense your presence in an amazing way and a renewed commitment to follow your way, whatever the consequences of that might be. Lord, may that be true for us as well, that we would be found in obedience to you and to your word. Thank you for the confidence that we have that your word is truth and it's profitable. Each part is profitable. Open our eyes to the clarity and to the teaching of your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many on both sides of a multitude of issues would agree. We have come a long way. Today, we don't bow down to objects that our great-great-great ancestors worshipped. We don't worship the moon. We have walked on it. Indeed, this week, we have even seen for the first time the other side of the moon. We don't pray to the sun, we photograph it, and then we can study its gases, study its storms, so that we can strive to understand the impact that those storms have on Earth. We have come a long way from our ancestors who were given to various gods. Indeed, many have gone so far as to not now fear the God of Scripture, or pray to him, or seek to honor and obey and fear him. Yet mankind has not changed. We may have become more clever in thinking that we no longer worship things as wood and rocks and metal, but we do worship things that aren't gods at all. We have a command. God's word is clear on this matter. And I expect most of us are familiar with God's instruction to Israel, known as the Ten Commandments. And the first two says in Exodus 20, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what in heaven, what is in heaven above or in earth beneath or the waters under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but show loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And we think, well, that's no problem for us. We don't do that. We don't bow down to such things as graven images. And so it's easy for us to conform and feel safe on this. But before we feel too confident in our own righteousness, I direct your attention to 1 John chapter 5. Verses 1 to 4 reads this. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the Son, the child born to him. By this we know that we have loved the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so here in the opening verses of chapter 5 of 1 John, there's three things that ought to identify us. We believe Jesus is the Christ. We should be identified by our love for the Father. And that at the end, we can't speak of loving the Father while not loving the children of God. Then John raises a matter of observing God's commandments. Our love for God will result in keeping his commandments. The unsaved individuals do not keep his commandments. Their nature rebels against it. But our love for God, our passion for God, our desire to please God motivates us to obey his commandments. Thus, his commandments are not burdensome. Maybe a good illustration of that is seen in the armed forces, or in police departments, or in other occupations or groups where they have learned to depend and trust and put great confidence in one another. There, a bond builds that is not easily broken. I'd like to show just a short video of this being illustrated. You'll be familiar with the song if you're over 40. If you want to just hit go, please.
The road is long.
When you're in a relationship like that, there is little that you wouldn't do for one another. There is something powerful about being part of a group like that. Multiply that many times. When we realize the situation that we have with Almighty God. And that all comes down to relationship. His commandments are not burdensome. As we grow in our relationship and our devotion and our understanding as to who God is and what he has done for us, there ought to be no limit to what we will not do or what we will not give to him. And so we have people even with us this morning that have devoted their whole life in foreign fields to serve him. Moving on through 1 John, verse 5, John gives us a clear presentation of the gospel. In verses 11 to 13, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What are you depending upon your salvation? For what are you trusting that you are accepted by God? What are you trusting in for your salvation? Is it your parents' faith? Is it for your church attendance? Maybe it's thinking that you're not such a bad person. There is only one answer to that question. and that is in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. That is the only place that we can be sure that we will be saved, that we will know that we are saved. And trusting in Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have complete assurance. That's what John is writing here. You can have complete assurance that we have been given and promised eternal life. Our hope is solely in the Lord. Isn't that great news? It's not up to us. We don't have to live at such a degree of acceptability or goodness. John continues in his letter with an exhortation to live holy lives, but not to earn or to gain salvation, but because that is an acceptable life lived for God. And he ends his letter somewhat abruptly. For he says in verse 21, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Well, we've already looked at that. We don't do that. We know better than to worship a golden calf or a statue of Buddha or any engraven image. We know better than to worship the sun or the moon or nature. But as we realize this issue of idols is not restricted to objects that have received religious prominence in the past. For in the New Testament, there is further clarification. And here I would refer to the passage in our scripture reading that was read for us out of Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Interesting passage. Here the writer of Colossians is identifying idolatry as something more than those little idols or those statues or those things formed in creation. This passage gives us a clue that idolatry involves more than just praying to a metal or stone image or some aspect of nature. Idolatry is rooted in a more comprehensive principle than that. Here we can see the word idolatry is used to describe something that is controlling our desire, our passion, for something that precedes our God. It can also be understood this way. It is giving the recognition, honor, obedience, and gratitude to anything that really belongs only to God. Well, I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting to read at verse 17, going to verse 20. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things for their citizenship, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The comment I want to draw your attention to out of that is whose appetite, whose God is their appetite. It was there in the Philippian church as well as it is here, where people worship the cravings of their desires. They live to indulge their physical appetites. It's not some idol, some graven image, something's created. Things that take precedence over God. This makes sense. In the Old Testament, idols referred largely to those things that were made in physical image and worship, but the New Testament, we see idol worship as something that has been given greater importance than the Creator himself. Well, continuing on, we do see some godly counsel. Last week, we spent a few of us spent a little bit of time and we drove to Lucan with our motorcycles. And we attended Bacon Fest. Yeah, even saying it, I don't want to lick my lips. It was a great time. We had a good ride. We avoided the rain. We got in and out of there before it got too crazy. And we enjoyed this delicious bacon burger that had to be, I don't know, 2/3 bacon. We also saw some idols there. I would dare say we saw some bikes that was the sole purpose of many of the fellows that were there. It was pretty impressive. They were very amazing. We talked to one fellow that it was undercover, it was in a building, and he said that he wouldn't ride this if there was a cloud in the sky for fear that it might get rained on. It was a pretty impressive bike. But looking at it, it was an idol. Idols can take all kinds of forms. There's the stomach idol, and the sex idol, and the business or company idol, the golf idol, the cottage or recreation idol, the idol of alcohol or gambling, the house idol, the garden idol, the sleeping idol, the party idol. There is the science idol, the education idol, the football idol. And the one that so many have a hard time dealing with, the TV, computer, or cell phone idol. Is this exaggerating? Not if the scriptures are accurate in suggesting that whatever keeps us from worshiping the Creator is in principle an idol. And then there is the greatest of all idols, self. Ourself. Let's take a look at ourselves. Do we spend more time worshiping God, the God of the Bible, than our hobbies and our personal interests? Do we worship Him in our music, in our quiet meditations? And that what we view to be most important to be doing? Do we worship Him with appropriate love and affection in our values and attitudes, even our dreams and aspirations? Is our heart tied to this earth, or is our heart centered on Christ and the Father to be revealed? Folks, we need to give to the Lord his rightful due. We need to spend time in his word. We need to think his thoughts by lovingly reaching out to others in the name of our Lord and Savior. If you haven't already accepted this great gift that he is offering to you, please consider it today. He alone is the one worthy of our honor, our worship, and our loyalty. It is Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for the sin of the world, for our sin. Thus, we cannot claim that we have arrived or we have achieved. If you will accept the gift that he has provided, forgiveness and salvation, then you will enter into a new family, the family of God, and start with a whole new beginning. You find yourself as what Jesus prayed in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and whom you have sent. John concluded his epistle, his first epistle, with little children. I don't think I can address you in that fashion, but I can address you as brothers and sisters. Guard yourself from idols. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we are so easily distracted because that is the world in which we live. Lord, our world continues to bombard us with the things that they're trying to tell us that we need. And how we can afford such things, or how we can do things, or why we should want these things. And Lord God, we pray that you might guard our hearts. Lord God, we might recognize that you are all we need. You have been so gracious and loving. You have been so generous and patient. Lord God, we recognize that we have so easily become distracted from the things of you. And we pray that we might be quickened in our heart and our mind to renew that commitment, that first love to you. Thank you. Thank you for your patience and for your love, for your heart of forgiveness, for your desire for us to walk constantly with you. Oh, Lord God, we pray that we might have ears to hear, that we might respond to the wonder of your goodness to us, for your heart's passion for us. And in so doing, Lord, may we live lives that are pleasing in your sight. And living such lives will bring you glory, but will also be an attraction for those with whom we share life, with the hope and the confidence that, Lord God, our goal is not this world. And so encourage us, we pray, that we might live obedient and faithful and pleasing lives to you. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.